Good morning, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Getting ready for a Purim party?
Yeah, we're in the spirit of Purim. You know, today is Tanit Esther, the fast of Esther, who was the great savior of in the story of Purim. And yeah, we're getting in the mood because we Saturday night already starts Purim, so everything is being put into place, so it's beautiful.
That's nice.
So, you know, I thought we would designate this segment specifically in regards with Purim, and thought that we would go through, you know, the story of Purim in a real nutshell, what the obligations are of Purim, why do we celebrate Purim, and, you know, go through some questions that I constantly get from people. For example, what does Purim mean, and why do we have to get dressed up in costumes? And so I think that this might be a an opportunity to be able to share that light, and you know, anyone that has questions, hopefully this will answer that.
So let's start.
Yeah. So the festival of Purim is celebrated every year on the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar, which normally is late winter, early spring.
Yeah.
And it commemorates the salvation of the Jewish people in ancient Persia from Haman's plot to destroy and kill and annihilate all the Jews, no matter young, old, infants, women, in one specific day. In a single day, that was it. And the way that the stories are is that the Persian Empire of the 14th century BCE extended over 127 lands, and all the Jews were its subjects. And when King Ahasuerus had his wife Queen Vashti executed because she did not follow orders by coming to him, so they had to go and find a new queen. And the Jewish girl Esther found favor in the eyes and became the new queen, even though she refused to divulge the identity of her nationality, which her uncle Mordechai had told her, "Do not say that you are a Jew."
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the anti-Semitic Haman was appointed prime minister of the empire, and Mordechai, the leader of the Jews, defied the king's orders and refused to bow down to Haman. And Haman was so upset, and he decided that he was going to convince the king to issue a decree ordering the extermination of all the Jews. And on the 13th day of Adar, a date was chosen, which was done by a lottery by Haman.
Yeah.
And obviously Mordechai galvanized all the Jews, convinced them to repent, fast, pray to God. And meanwhile, Esther was asking the king and Haman to join her for a feast. And at the feast, Esther revealed to the king her Jewish identity. And Haman, you know, as it went on, and Haman and Mordechai, the king asked, "Well, what can I do for you, my queen?" And she told him the whole story about Haman. And Haman was hung. And Mordechai was then appointed the prime minister instead of him. And a new decree was issued, granting the Jews the right to defend themselves against all their enemies.
Yeah.
So that is, in very, very short, the story of Purim. And if we look, on the 13th day of Adar, the Jews were mobilized and killed many of their enemies. And on the 14th of Adar, they rested and celebrated. And we find that in some of the wars. However, there are certain obligations that a person has on Purim night, Saturday night this year, and on Purim day. One of them is to listen to the Megillah, which is the scroll which we relive the miraculous event of the Purim, which is all written in, which is, you know, known as the scroll of Esther. And we, you know, when it comes to Haman's name, the kids have a field day. You know, we take the graggers, the 12 graggers, the Purim noisemakers, and we stamp our feet, and we want to eradicate this evil name of Haman.
Yeah.
Correct. And that we do by morning and by night. And then, you know, what the next mitzvah would be is that we have to give to the needy, which in Hebrew is Matanat Levyonim, that we concern for the needy, obviously, is year-round. But on Purim, it's a very, very special mitzvah commandment to remember the poor. And we're obligated to give at least charity to at least two people that are needy, that have the need for it. Now, what happens if I can't find poor people? I don't have a poor person that I see, or I didn't get a chance to go out and look for a poor person. Then it's brought down in halakha that you can place at least two coins into a charity box, as though you're finding two people, and you make sure that that charity box goes to a poor person, a Jewish institution, whatever it may be. We also try and get our children involved with it to teach them the mitzvah, the commandment of giving. It's not always not always life is good for other people as though it's good for ourselves.
Yeah.
Then the next one would be is sending food portions to our friends, which is called Mishloach Manot. And on Purim, we emphasize the importance of Jewish unity and friendship, and we send gifts of food to a friend. Now, obviously, the food should be ready to eat. For example, you can give them pastry, fruit, a good bottle of whiskey, whatever. You know, you got to know your crowd. Whichever one is that, but that has to only be given to one person. And then the next one is obviously eat, drink, and be merry. Purim should be celebrated with a special festive meal on the Purim day, at which the family, which is important, and friends gather together to rejoice in the Purim spirit. And it is a mitzvah to drink. Now, obviously, drinking can mean drinking wine, can mean drinking grape juice, can mean drinking beer, can mean drinking whiskey. And there is a commandment that you're not supposed to know the difference between Haman and Mordechai when you drink. Now, that does not give the excuse, I'm not giving the permission, that you're supposed to drink and get drunk and be irresponsible.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, everything is done in moderation. You know, people think, well, Purim is the time I drink, I go crazy, I get so drunk that I don't know what I'm doing the next day.
And I'm not driving.
That's right. So that's not what it means. It means you need to drink, you need to feel very happy, very special, excited, but that has to be all done in moderation, obviously. Now, the question is what does Purim mean? Why do we use the word Purim? Why Pur? And Purim means, in Hebrew, Pur, lots.
Yeah.
And the name commemorates obviously the lots that Haman cast to choose the day that would be suitable for the destruction of the Jews. Now, we talked about hearing the Megillah. People always have the thing, well, Megillah can take me an hour, 45 minutes, I don't have that time, it's too hard. However, if you can't make it in the morning to Megillah reading, we have the Megillah reading at 3:30 in the afternoon in the JCC, which we do it a lot quicker than doing it in the regular shul, just to be able to accommodate people that don't want to necessarily sit for a while. So a normal Megillah reading in the shul can take about 45 minutes, an hour. We'll do it between 20 and 25 minutes, so it'll give a little bit...
nutshell of the Megillah.
We'll read the whole Megillah, but you'll be able to get the nutshell, yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is, you know, when you read the Torah and so on, the Torah has God's name in who knows how many times, and talks about God, and this is about God. However, in the Megillah that we read, God's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. And the question is why? Why is God's name not mentioned in the Megillah? So it's brought down that on Purim, the salvation came about in what could be easily seen as a series of lucky coincidences.
Yeah.
You know, King Ahasuerus gets angry at his wife, and then selects Esther as a queen in her place.
And that brings us back to the pool.
Correct. And then Mordechai happens to overhear a plot to kill Ahasuerus, yeah. And then he goes and saves the king's life. And Haman happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, just when Mordechai's deed is being read to the sleepless king, and then Esther uses her position and influence to turn the king against Haman, and so on and so on. So, reflecting this sequence of seemingly natural events, God name is absent from the Megillah, to be able to teach us that, hey, you know, and it might just be all in a seemingly coincident event. You know, this happened to this, and this happened to this, and this happened to that. Now, obviously, it's reminding us that nothing really is in any of so any coincidence. Obviously, God has a specific reason why these things happen and the way that it happened. You know, you also hear a lot of questions from people is, why are people doing this, walking around in costumes and having costumes, and it's like a Halloween, and what's going on? Why do we have to dress up? And it's a custom that originated as an allusion to God's hand in the Purim miracle, which was obviously disguised in natural events. It goes back really onto the same reason that the reason why God is not mentioned in the Megillah is also to be able to show us that he was disguised in the natural events of what was occurring. You know, this happened like this and this happened like that. So by wearing a costume, we're also showing that the story of Purim was, even though it happened in a natural setting and sense, nevertheless, it's still done in a way that it was done naturally, but in a disguise, obviously, of God's hand. So we get dressed up, we cover ourselves up, all more, and you want to say more of a symbolic than any specific reason. However, it's a beautiful opportunity to let the kids dress up who they really want to be. And the adults, you know, they have little issues. They really want to be a certain thing, or their true being of who they are can't really come out because, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself. But Purim is a time I'm going to dress up the person that I really, really, truly want to be.
And you can be silly too.
Exactly. So that's a reason why we wear a costume. Now, we have a very specific dessert, or if you want to say pastry, that we like to eat on Purim. And it's the triangle of pastries, which we call Hamantash.
Oh, Uznei Haman.
Correct.
That's the ears of Haman.
That's correct, and that is why we do that, because they're called Hamantashen, which, you know, with their hidden fillings, allude also, coming back to the same point, the hidden nature of the Purim miracle. But also, on a lighter note, the three-pointed Hamantashen are said to evoke Haman's three-pointed hats, or his triangular ears of Nehaman.
Yeah.
And that is why we eat Hamantashen.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in regards with foods that we eat on Purim, is, you know, primarily you're supposed to have a meal, full meal that you can be satisfied and happy and rejoice, whether it be a full fish meat meal, whether it be a salad meal, whatever it may be, a meal that constitutes something that will make you and feel happy, satisfied, excited, and that you can really feel the story of Purim, really feel the miracle of Purim, and that is why we have the meal. So I hope this helps everyone and a lot of people, that we try to go through a lot of different questions that people might have, a lot of different we went through the nutshell of Purim. So it's more to be able to understand why we have Purim. And if anyone has, you know, further questions, or you want to be able to ask more questions, you can either email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com, or you can email Ilan, and he can forward me the email, whichever it may be, and we'll try and get the answers to you. But that is generally the Purim in a nutshell.
That's great. So, Rabbi, we'll see you at the party.
We are having the party, yes, correct. And that is this coming Sunday, March 20th, is going to be the Big Purim event party at the JCC. Please RSVP. If you have an RSVP, obviously we will still have a lot of food and a lot of fun. Please come by at 3:30. We'll have the Megillah reading for whoever wasn't able to make it in the morning. We are then going to have the party at 4 o'clock. We're going to have a Chinese buffet dinner. The theme is Purim in China. We're going to have costumes for the kids that they get dressed up. They're going to get prizes. There's going to be crafts for the kids. There's going to be decorations in the Chinese theme. There's going to be a phenomenal magic show by Larry Hitch, a phenomenal magic entertainer. We are going to have music. It is going to be a beautiful event. It is going to be $12 an adult and $8 a kid. We're looking forward to see everyone.
That's great.
So wishing everyone a happy Purim and easy of the rest of your fast.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, thank you. Shabbat Shalom. And
Shabbat Shalom.
Get ready for the for the festivities.
Yeah, that's right. Be well, Elon. Thank you.
Thank you.